That's on page 1005 if you've got a church Bible. And we're going to be reading from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through to verse 20. It's page 1005, chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the words. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the words, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the words, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the words, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the words, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." This is God's word to us this morning.
Well, thank you, Gareth. Keep that passage, Mark 4, open. We're going to be referring to it regularly. Where's the clicker? There it is. We're going to need God's help to understand this passage. It's God who gives understanding, so let's pray to him. Lord, you are a great God. Please help us now as we open your word. Help us to hear. Give us understanding. As your word is sown, help it to fall on good soil. We pray that it produces a crop. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God created the earth and everything in it. God made humans. He saw what he had made. It was very good. But humans rebelled against their creator. We reject his love and we disobey his commands. The relationship is broken. All of us were born under this curse of sin. All of us reject his love and disobey his commands. We deserve punishment for our rebellion. And unable to make ourselves right with God, we deserve death. in his mercy, God did not destroy humans. He promised to fix the relationship himself. God stepped into the creation he made. He came as a human baby. He called him Jesus. He lived a life of perfect obedience. He lived a life free from rebellion. Though he was fully God, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death. Through Jesus, he made a way for us to be with God again. He fixed the broken relationship that whoever believes in Jesus will not get the punishment they deserve, but rather will receive eternal life. Jesus then triumphed over death. The grave could not hold him. He rose, and our great enemy, death, was defeated. Is this good news? Do we want to tell others about this good news? Do we want to make Jesus known in Edmonton? Yes, we do. In Mark 4, the passage we just read, Jesus tells us what to expect when we make him known. Jesus explains how we can get the secret to the kingdom of God, and Jesus shows us how essential prayer is. Verse 3, look down with me. Jesus tells us to listen. So, are you listening? Jesus introduces us to I've got a PowerPoint. I don't know if you want to put that up. Jesus introduces us to a farmer sowing seeds. We have the path where the seed is almost immediately eaten by birds. The rocks where the seed springs up quickly and looks like it's doing well, but they have no roots and it's scorched by the sun. We've got the thorns where as the seed grows, it's surrounded by thorns and choked. And then we have the good soil. The seed grows and multiplies, successfully producing a crop. So what does this mean? Well, thankfully, it's not up to me to work out. Jesus explains in the next part of the passage. Verse 14 to 20, Jesus explains. So, verse 14, the farmer sows the word. The seed is the word of God. Here in this parable, Jesus is going to give us four examples of how the word of God is received. I hope as Jesus explains this to us, we will recognize how relevant this is for us today. We see these examples in church life every week. So, what does he say? The path. Verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path. As soon as they hear the word, Satan comes and takes it away. This is a scary thought. In a sermon by Greg Morse, I read while preparing this, he describes Satan as the most regular and most attentive church attender. Satan is present at every sermon. He is here ready to distract. He would love to snatch up God's word like a bird snatches seed from a path. He would love to use any distraction to take God's word away from our ears. Nagging headache, phones going off, Bibles slipping off chairs, the thought of the meeting that you're dreading on Monday, or the worry of when you're going to fit in the next food shop. And I think we see this in our quiet times as well, right? We sit down with our Bible open. Maybe we're in the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach. Bear with. Just reply to this. And before you know it, I'm scrolling through cat videos. The word is snatched away. You know, we need to be careful not to let phones be a barrier to hearing God's word. They're almost attached to us. Don't let Satan use your phone to take God's word away. In verse 16 and 17, we move on to the rocks. Others hear the word and receive it with joy. This is Jesus' word, verses 16 to 17. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. We know this, right? Monday comes and someone asks, What did you do on the weekend? Ah, not much. Excuse me? We just spent Easter Sunday singing praises to our Creator God with our glorious church family for raising Jesus, our Savior, back from the dead. We heard that he died to save us from the fires of hell and take us to eternal glory in heaven. What did you do last weekend? Not much. We're too afraid of the world. We're afraid that friends will find out that we've been listening to Jesus. The fear that we'll be made fun of or lose our jobs for being a Christian. We wither. We fail. We then have the thorns. Verse 18 and 19. Others hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Growing up, I went to my church youth group a fair bit, and my friends that I made when I was 4 or 5 years old, I still have now. We still know each other. We went through youth groups together. We heard God's word together, the same word. One has passionately given her life to worrying about global warming and fighting oil giants. Three have devoted themselves to making money and buying houses and cars. Two have let their desires for sex before marriage lead them away. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things choked the word, making it unfruitful. Sadly, many of us know friends or family like this. You know they have heard the word, but they're being deceived by the treasures of this earth. And we all struggle with these thorns, don't we? It's a constant struggle not to let these things dominate our lives. But we have the good soil. Verse 20, others hear the word, they accept it, they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. These are successful seeds. They not only grow, but they produce more. This is the Christian. They accept God's word and sow the seeds themselves. So there, Jesus gives us four examples of how the word of God is received. Do you see how Jesus' parable is a parable of warning? And did you see at the start, he wants us to listen? So, with me, shout it out. Verse 3, what's the word he says? First word he says in verse 3, someone shout it loud and clear.
Listen.
A crowd has gathered to hear him. It's so big that he has to get in a boat to address them all. We're told in chapter 3 that it's quite a large crowd. It represents all of the nations around. And the first thing Jesus says is listen. It makes sense, right? He needs to get their attention. But Jesus ends the parable with verse 9. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Why does Jesus say this? They're already listening. All the focus is on Jesus. And most people have working ears. So why say for the people that have ears, let them hear? The answer is at the heart of this parable. And Jesus tells us that as the farmer sows the seed, as the preacher preaches God's word, as the teacher teaches and the Jesus follower speaks of Jesus, not all who are listening hear. He gives us four examples of listening, but only one example of hearing. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you're listening. I used to work in Finsbury Park, and to get home, I would get the Victoria Line to Seven Sisters and then the Overground to Silver Street. And one evening, I was on the tube, and the usual announcements are coming out of the speakers. I'll do my best impression. Mind the gap. This is a Victoria Line train to Walthamstow Central. There is no Overground service from Seven Sisters. Please stand clear of the closing doors. Many of you can hear her now. She's called Sarah Parnell, if you're wondering. Anyway, the doors opened on the left-hand side and I made my way up the escalator and stairs to the northbound platform. I've done this before. I sat on the bench for an embarrassingly long time before I looked and checked the board. It said, no service. No overground trains. And I'd been told that already, right? There is no overground service from Seven Sisters. The voice on the tube probably said it 5 times on my journey. I heard the information, but I didn't listen. The words went into my ears, but I didn't understand. Just because you have ears doesn't mean you're listening. I mean, anyone with kids, or in fact anyone who has been a kid, should know that there is a difference between having ears and listening. Not all who are listening understand the meaning. What Jesus is talking about here in this parable is a spiritual hearing, a hearing of God's word that takes root and bears fruit. So look with me at verse 11. Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, the disciples, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." Jesus sets up two groups. Those on the outside who don't understand, and those on the inside who do understand. Verse 11, he tells those on the inside, and you need to get this, they can be on the inside and understand because the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to them. Understanding is a gift. So where does this gift of understanding come from? Well, down in verse 13, Jesus asks them, how will you understand any parable? And Jesus immediately answers his very own question in the next sentence. Verse 14 to 20 is Jesus explaining the parable to them. So where does the understanding come from? Well, it's Jesus who explains the parable. The understanding for the parable is given to them by Jesus. It's God who reveals. He is the one who gifts us the secret of the kingdom of God. It's Jesus who takes us from being on the outside, not understanding, to being on the inside and understanding. Verse 10, 11, and 12 are sandwiched in between the parable and the explanation of the parable. And verse 10 is the 12 and others around Jesus asking him about the parables. And Jesus answers the question in verse 12 by quoting Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Now, just like the filling of a sandwich, this is what the passage is all about. So with me, through Jesus' words in verse 12, let's go back 500 years to Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus says, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, follow his wording, they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Jesus is quoting a message given from God through Isaiah to the Israelites when the Israelites were living in rebellion against God. They were going against God's word. And God tells Isaiah his ministry to Israel will be judgment. In this instance, it was too late. It was too late for the Israelites. They'll keep on hearing, but they won't understand. I wonder if you're like me, and you most often think of God's word saving sinners and bringing light to those in darkness. But we're told here that the preaching of God's word is not just so that people will be saved from their sin. This passage that Jesus quotes in Isaiah is saying that God's word will also confirm people in their choice to reject him. Jesus says in John 9, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." God's word saves and God's word condemns. And for the Israelites hearing this word from Isaiah in chapter 6, God's word condemns. The wording of the end of that quote from Isaiah that Jesus says, verse 12, Mark, in Mark 4, it surprised me. The word otherwise surprised me. It says, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Embarrassingly, on my initial reading of this, I wondered whether the translation was right, and I wondered maybe if the word they were using was a bit negative. But most versions are very similar. The ESV, which is just another translation, uses the word lest instead of otherwise. Lest they turn and be forgiven. You might have heard this word when we honour our armed forces in November each year as they give their lives in the line of duty. Lest we forget. It's for fear, right? Lest means to prevent or for fear that. For fear that we forget. We don't want to forget, right? And God says to Isaiah, lest they turn and be forgiven, for fear that they turn and be forgiven. It sounds like God doesn't want the Israelites to repent, right? It sounds like he is reluctant to save them. Well, the Bible makes that clear. The Bible makes it clear that that's not true. We read in 1 Timothy that God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In Ezekiel, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, not wanting anyone to perish, that's God, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. To understand what God means when he says otherwise they might turn and be forgiven, we must remember and we must hear that no one is good, right? Romans 3 tells us that no one seeks God. John Piper, an American preacher, who's got a talent for good explanations, said that no one is made blind to God who loves to see God. No one is made blind to God who loves to see God. In the context of our passage today, no one is made deaf to God who loves to listen to God. God is not shutting the ears of people desperate to hear his voice. No, these people are very happy listening to themselves. Remember, God's word will confirm people in their choice to reject him. Preaching is a word of judgment for those who are set against God. In the most recent James Bond movie, No Time to Die, our protagonist, James Bond, is trapped in a room full of his greatest enemies. There's no way out. There's no time left. A gas is released into the room. The gas is DNA coded. I know, it's ridiculous. Stay with me. The gas is DNA coded. It will affect people based on what's inside them. And after a brief moment of tension, the gas saves James Bond and kills all of his enemies. The gas matched their DNA and brought death. The gas provides a way out for James Bond. The gas is life to some and death to others. The same thing is received differently and reveals who has life and who does not. God's word is life to some and death to others. The same word is heard differently and reveals who has life and who does not. Think about last weekend, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. We heard God's word. It was sown. The same message will have been received differently. Some will have heard and been given understanding. They will have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. God's word is life to them. Others will have listened but not heard. They will have rejected the offer of life and happily continued to live in sin. God's word is judgment for them. The same word reveals who is on the outside and who is on the inside. I wonder where you stand. Remember, it's Jesus who gives understanding. It is God who brings us in. If you're a believer here today, someone who has been brought in, praise God that he has given you understanding. Praise God that in his kindness and mercy he has given you ears to hear. Praise God, God, that through you he will produce a crop. If you are a believer, Jesus' parable has a lot to say to us. So Jesus is talking to his followers. If we just look back at chapter 3, verse 14, it says, he appointed the 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. This parable, which follows it, Jesus is preparing his disciples, right? He's giving them insight. He's preparing them to sow the seed themselves. What should they expect when they go out and tell people about Jesus? What should we expect? What should we expect when we make Jesus known in Edmonton? These leaflets that we've been given out last month are a great example of Silver Street Community Church sowing the seed. They went to neighbors. They went to people on the street. They were pushed. They were sown into the community. So what should we expect? Well, we've got Path Pauline. These are just some examples. These are not real people. Any likeness and representation is merely coincidental. Pauline pulls the leaflet out of her letterbox and she puts it in the bin. Done. We've got Rocky Rick. The leaflet may initially connect and Rick may be excited about the good news. But he gets in trouble at work for talking about Jesus and he doesn't think it's worth it anymore. We've then got Thorny Thelma. After reading the leaflet with interest, she checks what time the church meets. Nah, clashes with Pilates. Thelma is not going to jeopardize her health and fitness. And then we've got Good Soil Christian. Christian reads the leaflet. He accepts that he needs God's forgiveness. He puts his faith in Jesus Christ. He puts his faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. He comes to Silver Street. He becomes a brother to us. He's baptized. And through him, 30, 60, maybe 100 people hear about Jesus. Don't be discouraged by the first three. These are all examples of God's word working. This is what we can expect when the preacher preaches, the teacher teaches, and the Jesus follower speaks of Jesus. We can expect these responses. Maybe you're listening and you're wondering or you're worried about which soil best represents you. You think you understand, but you're not quite sure. How do I get this gift of understanding? I think I'm on the outside. How can I be on the inside? The answer is also in verse 10 of our passage in Mark 4. So look with me. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. The disciples here are a great example to us. The disciples have listened, but they haven't heard. So what do? They ask Jesus, right? They ask Jesus. Ask him, ask God. Remember, it's God who reveals. Lord, help me understand your word. The Lord will not make you deaf if you want to listen. God will not leave our prayers unanswered. Prayer enables us to combat Satan when he tries to snatch the word away. Prayer causes us to grow roots and stand firm when trouble or persecution comes. Prayer helps us to bear the worries of this life. It alerts us to the deceitfulness of wealth. It focuses our eyes on heaven. Prayer opens our ears to hear. Prayer is how God's word takes root and bears fruit. We cannot do it ourselves. We need God. So as we seek to understand, as we realize our need for God's help, Let's pray. Lord, help us this week to prioritize reading your word. And when we do, take away any distractions. Help us to have uninterrupted time with you. Lord, deepen our understanding of you. Help us fear you more than we fear the world. Help us to speak fearlessly of you. And Lord, when the question comes, what did you do on the weekend? Help us not to be ashamed of Jesus. Help us to unashamedly proclaim the good news. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to build treasures in heaven and not be choked by the desires of this world. Lord, help us not to rely on our own knowledge, but help us turn to you for understanding. We thank you for the gift of understanding that you give to us. Thank you for the mercy that you show us. Thank you for the gift of grace that you give us. We praise you for your goodness. We pray this in the name of our mighty, loving Savior Jesus. Amen. Our next song is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. Let's sing this together.